Yo, if you thought the McCrispy was bussin', hold up. Bacon and Ranch have entered the chat. Say hello to the Bacon Ranch McCrispy. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. At participating McDonald's, limited time only.
All right.
Goddamn.
Don't OD today.
If I say something really cool, can I?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is that like secret territory?
It's the only reason why it's here.
Like, yeah, like I don't, like sometimes people don't want you touching their own soundboard, so I have to respect it.
If you really feel something, like if you really feel like if you really feel like you slam dunk something, lime green button.
Yeah, perfect. Love it.
What's poppin', people? Welcome back to Say Less with Kaz. Me.
Yo, it's low.
And this is not Rosie. I'm sorry, guys.
A less cool replacement.
A very much lesser cool replacement. I'm just kidding, guys. Hoodie Allen's here, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, gosh. Full circle moment. For Jake. So, apparently.
For Jake.
You know. I'm just kidding. Me and Hoodie go back for years. Mm-hmm. Back in my music writing days. And Jake was like, hey, man, like, did you ever have Hoodie on a podcast? I was like, what? I have Hoodie on a podcast? I feel like he's my Jet confidant on Twitter and Nick confidant. So, no, I feel like, yeah, absolutely. But even more than that, it's great to have you on here, especially, you know, I think it was like 10 years ago. That almost. We did, were we doing Stashed right back then? And
oh, I remember Stashed.
Oh, man.
Stashed was a
good time.
Hell of a time.
Good time.
The craziest thing is I think this, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this might be the second time that we've actually hung out.
Yeah.
But you're like the epitome, and I mean this in like the best way, of like a Twitter friend, like a online friend, because I think I interact with you on a weekly basis.
This is an actual fact. Like, we haven't seen each other in real life, but we interact so much on Twitter.
When was the last time y'all saw each other outside of this?
It literally might be 9 years ago.
It might be that interview.
But that's what
I would have thought y'all was at dinner yesterday.
You would think so,
right?
But when you're a Knicks fan or a Jets fan, especially
the pain and the stress brings you together.
100%.
The pain,
suffering.
Yeah,
the suffering.
Yeah, I get it.
So it's a weird week for us, right? Yeah. Like when the games are on, especially football games or basketball games, my Knicks, my Jets are on. I get in front of a TV, I throw on my phone, and not only do I watch the game, I like to watch the reactions of most of the folks that are watching.
Right.
And Hoodie's one of the guys that I always, you know, we find interactive.
I'm in the replies.
Like, always in the replies.
Yeah. Nice.
And it's been a weird week for us because we're not used to like prosperity.
Right? So you're pretty much about to say we're not used to having nice things.
We're not used to like things being like, oh, like this actually might turn out okay for you guys. For one. There's a specific type of New York fan,
It's so good that he's at a loss for words, and he's never at a loss for words when it comes to the Knicks.
Listen, I gotta break it down for people, because like you gotta be a specific type of New York fan, right? Most New York fans, most regular New York fans, are what? Giants fans, Yankee fans, Knicks fans, right? It's like it's like a specific combination.
There's some Mets fans in there,
right? Like here or there, but like Mets fans usually tend to be Jets fans for some reason.
I don't
know. Like Nets fans tend to be Jets fans. Like the B team of
the little step brother,
Okay.
But those weird New Yorkers that are Knicks and Jets fans.
That's you. That's y'all too.
That's
y'all too. Okay.
We love being miserable. We love the pain.
It is like a Chicago Cubs level of misery.
Right.
Yeah.
That you got to put all of your cold weather months into.
Right.
to root for both the Knicks and the Jets.
This is like an interesting, you know, convo, because it's like the Jets have embarrassed and have just made New York Jets fans look like they're crazy.
Okay, yeah.
For staying there.
Properly context this before you go in, please.
What I'm saying is I'm just pretty much talking about the loyalty.
Okay.
And the pain and strife that y'all deal with day in and day out. It's like a bad relationship that one day you hope that that person will get their shit together.
Yeah, because yeah. you're not you've already given up hope on leaving.
Yes.
Right?
Like, you're it's already, like, I'm stuck.
you already like told him, like, listen, I ain't going nowhere.
I ain't going nowhere.
Like, we just got to figure this thing out.
Just, right? Yeah, one day I hope I wake up and your shit is together.
Like, if you didn't leave during the KD and Kyrie years, you're not going anywhere. Right. Like, that was the perfect, like, the stretch between KD and Kyrie choosing Brooklyn, trading away Porzingis. Like, those months were like...
Not acquiring Donovan Mitchell.
I have some insider info on that KD thing as well.
Okay, all right.
Not so old history now, but...
I mean, now it's... I think it's actually a limitation of the past. It's pretty up now, so you could just... He's two teams away now, so we should be...
He's on a different coast, so I think everything's good.
Yeah, well, I had a friend who, like, designs jewelry.
Okay.
And so, like, she was one of the, you know... only like females who were like really rising up in like the jewelry New York City world thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, for some rappers and some events and stuff. And the Knicks had contacted her to make something for Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
In that whole like time where it was, you know.
Wait, was that like
that core shit was happening.
Okay, that was a courting thing.
Okay.
I mean, the deal was sealed.
That's what I was about to say. Like, was that like a present that was about to be gifted and then he changed his mind?
That was my impression. I got the sense that I wasn't supposed to probably even be speaking about it now, but.
Well, did she tell you what the jewelry looked like? What was the design?
Okay, see, that's the key point.
Like, is there like a KD?
There's probably a mock-up.
Knicks.
Somewhere.
It's like and number somewhere. 7 in the middle.
Or 35.
Yeah. Or 35. 7 to 35. Yeah. If that's the case, then that deal was sealed.
I mean.
And because remember when the news came out, it was all about how like Dolan wasn't going to give him a guaranteed.
Yeah. Right.
Whatever. So I think like legitimately that it was like, oh, it's a wrap. And okay. Then. He got a little interjected and it messed it up.
It was dark times.
You guys are very, very, you know, keen on these kind of conversations. Are we gonna get in trouble for this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I do this with the music shit, so, right? And I know what happens.
I know how to avoid the landmines at this point. So it's like, all right, but like you said,
he's in Phoenix. People in Phoenix, they don't watch podcasts. So
they're fine. It's okay. But we say all that to say. What a time to be a Knicks fan right now.
Yeah.
Like, I was...
Can't front, man.
I did a lot of shows this week with Points Bet and you know, MSG and all this other stuff. And it's just like, I can't remember another time in my adult life that I felt this good about. Like, there have been good teams that I felt good about. But I can't remember being an adult feeling this good about.
Is it how they look and the promising future that's in front of us? Is it... just the win streak? Is it the hope for the postseason and what that looks like? Like, what is it really for you guys now?
Well, obviously winning.
Or even just this week.
No, winning cures everything, obviously. Yeah. But I think this is different. And I think Knicks fans feel like even more like hype about this one because this one doesn't feel fugazi.
Yeah. Oh, right? Like, okay.
This is all like, you know, trust the process, right? Yeah. Like all the guys that they drafted, that they signed off of, like kind
it's one of those full circle moments.
Yeah, like everybody, nobody came to the New York signed with like massive expectations, like outside of Brunson, right?
Right. Sure.
And even then, he smashed all those expectations,
he's
right?
Right, right?
Same thing with Randall. You drafted quickly. He has his coming out party on national TV in one of the biggest games of the year, you know what I mean? And on top of that, like, they're fun to watch. Like,
Randall's playing very well.
And every Knicks fan I know doesn't feel comfortable when, like, national media is talking good about the Knicks.
Yeah,
because at some point, the tide's going to turn.
Not even the tide turning, but, like, it's just, we're just so scarred from the Knicks, but, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's like, going back to the relationship comparison, it's like you come home and your significant other has dinner cooked, and it's just like, what?
Wait,
like, dinner's cooked, nice. Like, the house is clean, like, your favorite show is on, like, it's right there in front of you when you walk in. Like, let me get your shoes, how was your day? And you're like,
there's something missing.
Yeah, something missing. You need to fuck up something real quick.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, everything that everybody has ever told me about the Knicks is like, oh man, you know, the coach is gonna Knicks are gonna nick. Like, something's gonna go wrong. Mm. But as far as I can tell, this season
it's going right.
I think personally, they're playing with house money at this point, right? Like, yeah. I don't know. There's about, like, what, a month left in the season?
We got about 16, 17 more games left.
It would take something disastrous to happen for like us, an injury. For me to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
Even an injury, but like, oh, well, injuries happen.
Wait, if this comes out on the
17th,
cue something disastrous.
No. Don't manifest it.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
A few weeks later.
I'm not trying to manifest it, but yeah. it's you know, it feels like outside of something disastrous happening, like, I could still feel good about the team not just now. But going forward, right? Well,
and that's what I was asking. Like, going forward, it looks like you guys have a promising future, not just, you know, for the rest of the season, but for years to come. So that's pretty dope. Also, shout out to Ashley Nicole. She's been going hard like every game, going hard.
I'm athlete Ashley.
Yeah, Ashley Nicole.
Ashley Nicole.
Yeah, she's been
killing it.
Bro, just killing on I'm Athlete, but she's on niggas' necks.
Because,
let me tell you, man,
you have so much. It's been the first time, like I said, in my adult life where I can, like, confidently talk shit about my team, right?
Yeah.
Like,
the last time you did that was last year, and they. At the beginning of the season, they went 5-0.
But even that last year, now is starting to feel like maybe that was the aberration.
Right.
Like, maybe that was the hiccup year. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you really think about it.
I'm still not comfortable.
You're still not comfortable. No. You still think, like, the ground's going to fall out from underneath.
Deep down inside, you are, too. Deep down inside, you're not comfortable yet.
We're comfortable in accepting that something bad is about to happen.
Right.
Like, the closest confidence I have is, like, being a promising team. Like you said, like, that feels good.
I think that's more important.
Yeah.
I think that's, for you guys, that's more important, because this team looks like it could have a lot of legs going into next season. But I want to see what does this look like for the postseason for you guys.
But what makes it more fun is that, like, and I brought this all up for a reason. The reason why I brought this up is, like,
Jake,
enjoying the Knicks as an adult is so, it's like, everybody's always like, we're 80s-ish babies, right? All of us. Like, everybody always romanticizes, oh man, the 90s was so much better, and and just in everything, in music and clothes and TV show, everybody romanticized the 90s so much. And people our own age romanticized the 90s so much. And it was a beautiful time. But I'm just sitting here just like enjoying a good Knicks team for the first time as an adult. And I'm just like, yo,
see,
there's no fucking possible way I can truly believe that the 90s were better. I was 9 years old, right? No, see, like, why can't I enjoy right now?
I will say because...
Who's to say that this won't hit differently in 20 years, like the 90s?
No, you're absolutely right. People? But, like, my father was a diehard Knicks fan, just like I'm a diehard Giants fan.
Okay.
So I would see them every year get beat by the Bulls, always get to the conference finals and just fall flat on their face because the season was so good.
It's Michael Jordan, promising. Bro.
I know.
It's like, hey, man.
What can you do?
If the GOAT was standing in front of your way, like, you still feel good. Like, that's why Knicks fans have so much pride about their team now, because it's like, yo, man, like,
the last time it was like this.
We went head up with the GOAT a bunch of times. Yeah. And it happens, but, you know, like, understand.
But that's why I always give the Knicks hell, because they gave my father hell. Like, back to your point about enjoying the Knicks as an adult.
Can you enjoy them as an adult now, though?
No, fuck them.
Why?
Because my father never got to see them win a championship. Well, no, one. The 1973, I believe.
Who's to say this year isn't that year?
Man, his heart is not.
Who's this?
His heart is not in it. Hold on. His heart is not in it like it was.
Who's to say?
No one's to say.
Who's to say?
I'm going off.
It's the 50th anniversary of the 1973 NBA championship team.
Now you put a lot.
Do you believe in the stars?
You put a lot of now.
Do you believe in the stars aligning?
See, this is why y'all get this.
Do you believe?
This is why y'all get disappointed.
When your son.
This is why y'all get let down.
This
is why y'all hearts are so heavy.
Your son to become the most improved player in the league.
I'm not here.
When Emmanuel Quickly was on the trade block. And then about to become sixth man of the year.
See, this is what happens.
You see?
This is what happens with Knicks fans.
With Julius Randle. Go ahead.
With
Julius Randle, everybody wanted Julius Randle out of here.
I was trying to get
him. For a ham sandwich.
I was trying to give the Knicks props. I was trying
Mitchell Robinson comes back.
I was trying to be lenient. I was trying to be, you know,
nine
compassionate. I was trying to be empathetic.
In a row.
But because he wants to be a dick, they're not making it out of the first round.
I don't care if that's they lose. True. I don't care if they lose five games after this. Listen, I don't care if they lose in the first round. I'll be disappointed. Yeah. I'll definitely be disappointed.
Yeah, of course.
But I it wouldn't make me feel any less good about where this team is going than the franchise.
That's why I said. And that's,
RJ?
That's what
RJ?
I said.
RJ's 22, 21. He'll be all right. Everybody's so hard on RJ just because
he's
21.
He's only 21?
He just turned 21, 22. He's very young.
How many years is he in?
He's fourth year in the league, man. He came out of Duke as a freshman. What, he's 22? What happened?
Zion,
Ja. Yeah.
Wait, how old was he got drafted? How old was when he got drafted?
He was a freshman. Yeah, 1 year out of Duke.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They're young, man. Everybody's young. And on top of that, like, it's hard to be a third option on a good basketball team. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's learning that. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, Brunson didn't play the past couple of games. Played well, whatever. Mm-hmm. But being a third option's hard. Look at Kevin Love. Look at Chris Bosh. Two of the greatest players we've ever seen. You go to a team where you got to be the third option. They were veteran all-stars at that point. It's a hard thing to do.
He's 21. He has so many fucking years. So he'll be fine.
I'm so glad you brought up RJ Barrett because we got to talk about that draft class, right? Like, look at that draft class.
Who else is in that draft class outside of the top three?
Do you know who that outside of? Oh, Darius Garland.
Okay, he's great.
Tyler Hero.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's all right. Those are the top five on that jumps out of me immediately. But
basketball is weird. Like people, like first round picks aren't really.
They're not hitting like they used to.
Yeah, they don't
to,
really
right?
get like a career necessarily.
The Zion thing.
Basketball's tough.
Bums me the most, right? Because it's like you kind of see how he was sort of like this thing we never saw before, and like. Everything tells you, like, this doesn't make sense. And it doesn't. Like, his body shouldn't be that big and that explosive. And it's like, you know, it just doesn't. That's why he can't stay healthy.
I mean, it looks like he's just not taking care of his body.
Some people's genes are just different than others.
No, yeah. I'm not blaming him. Like, but it's just like, how do you take care of that?
I'm sure he tries. But, like, the fact that he's 6'5 and built like a Hummer.
Yeah,
and he can jump out the gym like your legs could only take so much. You know what I mean? So
might be time for a career switch.
Hey, man, listen, I would have put a football in his hand as a kid, but that's just me.
I'll put one right now.
That's just me.
Aaron Donald.
Right. There you go. But the second pick in that draft is interesting. Ja Morant.
Wow, I feel like I've like not really been in the news cycle for this. I saw an Instagram story, and I don't know what's happened after that.
That was a good segue.
This is a great segue.
That was a great segue.
I got to give you some good before I get into some bad. Hoodie, I'll put you on game.
I tuned it out, kind of.
You know the initial thing that happened, though, right?
Early in January.
He had a gun on his Instagram story. Is that the initial thing, or is there something before that?
So here's what happened.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. But there are things prior to that.
No, I don't know anything.
So around January, the Atlantic, like, dropped a story saying, like, yo, there was, like, some questionable instances with, like, Ja Morant and, like, his, like, the people that he's with one time after Indiana Pacer game.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we all saw what happened with Shannon Sharp at the Laker game before that. And apparently that wasn't really with him, but it was just, you know, Memphis Grizzlies, whatever.
Okay.
But the story focused on something that happened after the Indiana Pacers game where there was an altercation on the court and a security from the Indiana Pacers says there was like a laser coming from like Morant's camp, whether it was the team bus or whatever.
I think they were in a car. They were like, it was a caravan.
And the security guard was like, that's 1,000% a gun. Like, it's not, you know, a laser pointer.
It was aimed at the Pacers team bus.
And then there was another part of that story where allegedly Ja Morant's mom had called him and said somebody at a Foot Locker was bothering him. And like, I guess he like got into a fight with some kid or was about to get in a fight with some kid and had like a gun on his like waistband or whatever. And then
pickup basketball game where he
there was a pickup basketball game where allegedly he got into a fight with the kid.
In the face, yeah.
And you know there was a lawsuit or something pending with that. And then this past weekend, it was Saturday morning, early Saturday morning.
Right, 3:30.
On Instagram Live, I want to say. This is right after they got mollywopped by the Denver Nuggets, by the way.
And so they're in a strip club.
And then a strip club in Denver with his shirt off.
That's how you should be in a strip club. If Jokic gives me the work, I'm taking my shirt off for sure. Yeah.
I don't know, listen, I'm not going to judge anybody who goes to strip clubs to relieve some stress. I would probably just keep my shirt on and not have a gun on me. Like, that's probably what I would do. But I don't know, man. It's It's such an interesting topic, though, because it's like...
Is he suspended right now?
So he's suspended for 2 games, right?
Because of...
Well, no, he's suspended indefinitely.
So here's the thing. The NBA initially suspended him for 2 games. The Memphis Grizzlies suspended him indefinitely. Now the NBA and the state of Colorado and all these people are investigating
CAB or something like that.
Whatever. If he had the gun on the team bus, if he traveled with the gun, if he had a license for it, like now they're like trying to, you know, see everything. So
they're trying to determine where the gun came from.
If he had the gun on the team bus, he's suspended 50 games automatically.
He's out for the rest of the season and then a good quarter of the first season.
Right. That's the Gilbert Arenas
same thing with Arenas.
Thing, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. Then there's the whole was the gun registered to him? Like, is he
licensed to carry?
Is he licensed to carry? Yeah. I don't. Also, there's different gun laws in Denver than there is in Memphis, wherever he might have had it registered. So now he's just opened up such a can of worms over something that was just so stupid. Like, as far as like just going on IG Live.
Then what does Memphis do with him?
Now, exactly. And then now the whole... You know, they're in second place in the Western Conference right now. Like, they're right in the thick
They're a great team.
Yeah. And on top of that, they don't play terribly without him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And there's the whole story with Steven Adams, who allegedly there was like a players-only meeting.
Yeah. He punched a kangaroo? Or no. What did he do?
There was a players-only meeting when Steven Adams is basically like, yo, like, we got to stop bugging out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's basically like, when we're on the road, you have a terrible road record. Stop going out when you're out of town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, let's get serious. Like, you know, we got some, you know, there's people on the team that's doing too much outside the court shit. And everyone has took that to say that was John Morant. And allegedly that players only meeting happened the day before, the same day
He
went out anyway that night. So there's a whole mess of conversation to have about that as far as that's concerned. Now you got people who, you know, and mind you, this is John Morant. He's the face of the NBA. You know what I'm saying? He's just Nike's new signature athlete. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this dude is, he's the kids. I'm talking about just as far as like influence on children.
Oh, he's there.
Yeah. It's Curry and then like him. You know what I'm saying? Not even so much Bron anymore. Bron's almost like the super OG LaMelo. For the kids, like LaMelo Ball, Luka, like those guys are like, you know, they're the faces of the game.
Right. Sure.
You know
what I'm saying? Next 10 years, easy.
It's almost like, I've seen a lot of people tweeting this. It was like, yo, this was what David Stern thought Allen Iverson was, right? Like,
fair.
All the stuff that he was like trying to prevent and like how heavy handed he was with all these in the suspensions and just being just, you know, we all saw the video of Carmelo Anthony that went viral where he's basically like, yo, we know where you're at. We know what your friends do. We know what they do. And you got two choices, either get away from them or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
X, Y, and Z. Like,
we're paying you $100 billion to do this. Like, we got people everywhere. Like, stop fucking around.
I mean, I was having this conversation last night. Like, I'll never know. I mean, maybe one day, I hope, but I'll never know what it feels like to have.
It's not as cut and dry as so many people has made it.
Right.
Seem.
Like, I'll never know what it feels like to have 200 million plus at my disposal at the age of 23, having all the attention, but yet still dealing with the outside shit that we have no idea what's going on in this. Yeah. And again, let me paraphrase this. I'm not giving this nigga a pass. I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving the other side of the pillow that's not really, really being talked about. Yeah. It's like, you gotta think, like, whatever he's dealing with or whatever he's going through or whatever experiences that we're not witnessing is really, really taking a lot of leverage away from where he can go. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, whether it's family shit, whether it's, you know, the people around you, whether it's personal demons, whether it's just guilt or whatever it is, it's now overflowing into his everyday mannerisms and his actions. Like, you see on IG Live, like, they're posting clips on Twitter about how much he drinks. Like, it looks like it's water. He's drinking tequila just straight out the bottle for like 5 to 10 seconds. So clearly there's something going on with abuse, right? There's something going on with that kind of shit. And I think what we saw this past weekend was the pinnacle of something has to give.
Yeah.
And unfortunately enough, you know, him having that gun in the strip club did not end in a different manner.
So here's why that I understand where you're coming from with that, but what makes it hard for me to sort of fathom with him is like, it just screams out somebody who's just like hella misguided, right? Like, even if, like, the one question that the thing that was the conversation that was going around, and I'm like, oh, you come from a good home. You don't come from this. Like, why are you doing all that? I'm like, yo, you don't know what he's around.
Right.
Yeah. You don't know what happens when cameras aren't on. Like, we see one picture of him in the backyard and two parents. Everybody's like, look at this guy and this great upload thing. I'm like, did you see the picture? Like, that little strip of grass that looks like it hasn't been watered in 3 years. Like,
they could have been co-parenting.
That, nobody knows. The entire world made an assumption off of somebody's life and their upbringing, given off of a picture and the fact that he's really good at basketball.
He had a collar shirt on with some loafers, and everybody thought that he was just squeaky clean. So, and it's usually the ones like that.
But that's my thing, right? Like, even... I'm not going to even like blame him for, you know, still wanting to take care of those people that he grew up around.
As he should.
But the thing that I have an issue with is that like somebody who has his ear or more wisdom than he does. And obviously all the NBA OGs have come in and like given their support, not just probably to him personally.
I hope it's privately as well.
Socially, you know what I'm saying? They put on Instagram or whatever. But it's like, that's a failing of the OGs around him to be like, yo, you are worth $200 million, bro. Why in the fuck did you hit live on your Instagram, bro? Like, why? Like, even if, like, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You really about that life, John. You really out
cool.
here.
Cool, we got it.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt. The fact that you were that dumb to hit live on Instagram is like, come on, man.
You know how many times I would be drunk on the way home?
Then, like,
let me talk to these people. I'm like, nah, bro, don't even do it.
Take it from me, bro. I done said a lot and done a lot of dumb shit on social media at the age of 23 years old. I paid the $8 like everybody else to make sure nobody sees what I used to tweet after drinking a lot. You know what I'm saying? I understand.
I get it. I totally get it. And I get the fact that he's not going to get it right every time.
Right.
A lot of these babies coming up that are in the league or about to hit the league are not going to get it right every time. And that's totally fine.
That's fine, yo. People make mistakes.
People our age, me, you, him, Jake, Madison, everybody in here is not going to get it right. My dad, my sister.
Right.
You know what I mean? We don't get it right, but it's how bad you don't get it right.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was just bad. And
I also don't want it to turn into something where like it follows him for the rest of his career.
I mean, it's gonna follow him for a minute.
It's gonna follow him for a minute,
and that's just inevitable.
People forget quick. Like, the news cycle is quick, and I don't know. But that
right there, that's not something you forget quick. Based on the magnitude of what it was and who he is, how much this is gonna run the news cycle for the next 2 or 3 weeks. And if he gets suspended for 50 games, there's a different conversation to be had as well.
But that's also a consequence. And like, you know, maybe that's the thing that needs to happen to change it. But people, like I can't imagine, like you were saying, if you have all that disposable income and everyone's telling you how great you are from this time to this time, like there's just a certain amount of like embedded ego that comes with that.
That's
right.
True.
Like when we're making those decisions,
I'm sure nobody can tell them shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. What are you going to tell me?
It's not like a little bit of money. You got like,
bro,
fuck you money forever.
$250 million.
You are getting $250 million from your NBA team, and you're a signature athlete for Nike. Your Ja 1s just dropped, bro.
And then Powerade shit like that. Like, it's just like you have. Yeah. It's right there the table.
So I could also understand where you're coming from, where it's like, yo, maybe he was just like,
fuck it.
A little rebellion.
I'm sure people were telling him like, yo, you need to chill out. Like, I'm sure there were lots of people that were in this corner like, yo, man, you bugging out a little bit. A lot of times, like, he's got to take that blame and be like, all right, like, I fucked up. And I hope people don't, like, come down on him, like, super duper hard for the rest of his career. Because, like, if we all start opening up and looking at all of our...
Look at Karl Malone's career.
I didn't want to take it that deep. But, I mean,
people will just... As long as you're successful, like, you fit in the box of adding value.
The selective outrage and the selective memory, it kicks in with athletes and entertainers. All the time.
Did you? What were your thoughts?
Purposeful segue to selective outrage?
I think it was.
Listen, man, I'm on my shit.
You are.
Listen, he's in his bag right now. Transition back.
I'm on my shit. I had to outdo you.
Yes, damn right.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Cass from Say Less, and Black History Month isn't just about 1 month. It's about the entire year. And throughout this year, join Walmart in amplifying the voices of Black brands and creators, giving them a stage to spotlight their unlimited brilliance. That's Black and Unlimited. What does it mean to be Black and Unlimited? It means being exactly who you are. To be unlimited in your potential, to be unlimited in your creativity, to be unlimited in your imagination, and to be unlimited in your vision. Throughout the year, join Walmart in amplifying the voices of Black brands and creators, giving them a stage to spotlight their unlimited brilliance. That is Black and Unlimited. Visit walmart.com/blackandunlimited to learn more. Cartier, Rolex, Gucci, Prada, Jordan, Adidas, Bottega Veneta. At eBay, it's real or it's getting the fake out. eBay's team of luxury authenticators are making sure you never get faked over again. Watches inspected by watch aficionados. Sneakers checked by legit sneakerheads. Handbags examined by handbag connoisseurs. And jewelry in the scopes of expert gemologists. These authenticators are leaders in their field, with meticulous eyes making sure your piece arrives as authentic as your style and worthy of your collection. As experts, they know the true difference between a real and a fake. Real carries that rare, distinguished feel, the weight of pure platinum, exquisite scent of togo leather, and the tight stitching on a pair of Dunks, the brilliance of real diamonds. So rest assured, your Rolex moves just like a Rolex should, and that colorway on your Jordan Royals will always be on point. The details inspected, the fakes rejected. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay's authenticity guarantee. Everyone deserves real. Visit ebay.com for terms. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you earned doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope, Discover does it automatically. Seriously though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
I had to outdo you on the last segue. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna get this nigga.
Selective outrage. There we go. It took a year after a year and some change from the slap heard around the world. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock, Will Smith.
Dropped it.
Chris Rock finally had his day in court, the People's Court. Mm-hmm. Live Netflix special. I think I know a lot of people who have seen his stand up. Like, he's been kind of practicing his joint, but this is the first time Netflix officially did a straight up an live
event. It played out live in front of all of us.
Very good.
Got the notification, like, oh,
I'm like, oh shit,
I guess I'm clicking this.
Yeah,
now.
I guess I'm going to the show.
Yeah, yo, man. So yeah, I got conflicting thoughts on this, right?
Well, that's like, why we're here to talk about it.
I'm a Chris Rock fan.
Me too.
My dog is named Pootie Tang.
Just say it.
I'm a
shout to young Pootie.
That's what we're all thinking.
I love Chris Rock.
Just
gotta say
it. Yeah, just get to it. Just get to it.
Do you want me to say it?
Yeah, do you want me to say it?
It was mid, man. Yeah. It was mid. Like, there was some parts.
That was a gamble because I didn't know what sound it made.
You know what? It still made it funny.
It was still funny. Oh, that's the one.
There it is. Still testing out the soundboard. Yeah. It's gonna work out, goddamn. It was all right. There was some bits that I liked. Okay. I'm not gonna lie.
Of course.
The Beyonce bit I thought was funny. It was a lot of Chris Rock kind of doing the hits a little bit, you know what I mean?
That's what I took from it.
A lot of the stuff that we kind of know he's going to talk about. And
remember me, we get it, bro. Yeah. We know your structure.
And, then he finally gets into the whole Will and Jada addressing the slap and all that type of stuff. And, you know, there was some certain things that didn't feel so much like jokes, more it felt like I'm therapy. Just gonna vent.
Yeah. It felt like therapy.
Get this out, like
definitely a venting session for sure.
That's pretty much what it was.
Which to a part of me, I kind of understand why. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like you probably took it in stride, and you know there was the comedy community stood with Chris Rock. Like they very vehemently was on some fuck Will Smith shit for the past year. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he was public
so much
enemy.
So that everyone told him that this special was pretty good.
So here's the thing. Drop something on that one.
But as you said, like, these comedians go out and they practice this. He didn't just come in cold with this. Like, he's working this in different places. Yeah. He has to be, right? So,
and he kind of stumbled on the joke, too.
He was stumbling a lot.
He stumbled on the delivery, too.
He stumbled on the line.
And he's amazing.
I fucked up the joke. I was like, damn.
But it didn't feel quite as special or as deep or innovative or pushing the boundary as, like, what I could have expected, you know?
So here's my... Okay, so I got several thoughts on that, right? Like, first thought is,
run it all.
When's the last stand up that really made me be like, this motherfucker is nice? Like,
Bill Burr.
Okay.
Bill Burr has several.
Okay.
That he just, that
Bill Burr, Bill Burr's a beast. Bill Burr's a beast.
That's mine. Who do you
Well, have? I was going to say, it's a little bit of a, like, endemic problem in comedy because all those guys are doing podcasts all the time instead of working on their comedy because they're just like going where the money is.
You're hearing some of the skeletons on the podcast.
No, I'm just saying they're not even focusing on
the art.
Yeah, right now the most, like, I feel like the biggest people, not all the biggest people, but like the new biggest people who are doing stand up are doing podcasts where they get popular and that's how they're selling out theaters.
Yeah.
But like then it gets to the stand up and you're like, oh, I thought you were. I guess you're funnier in this other format that's maybe not
stand-up
as much. So I don't even know.
Maybe you should stay behind.
I don't even know one that was like, oh, this... Like, I can't even think of... Like, Bill Burr is great. He's amazing.
I like Michael Che. There's some guys that I like, but, like, I kind of agree with you. Like, I just feel like the stand-up medium is just, like...
The bar's low.
The first time we all heard Chris Rock was, like, for me, was, like, the first time I really fell in love with stand-up comedy.
Right.
So it's almost like...
You play those things back. Like, you still play them back.
It's not even just the jokes were good. Like, the entire thought of being able to, like, express these things, like word vomit, where it's, like, you know, you can hear something that makes you just laugh just as much on social media now or on Twitter or on YouTube or on TikTok. Whereas, like, the first ever... time I just sat and just watched somebody talk and tell jokes. I'm like, holy shit, like, you can be famous just for standing here
and
telling
shit.
Jokes like and then talking shit about people. So it's like, I'm always gonna look at Chris Rock in a different lens because to me he's like Jordan in that type of way where it's like nothing.
You're not wrong.
He's got hits.
He's got the hits and it's like, well, he's got classics.
He's got the gold medal.
I don't need him
medal.
To go out and reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Like, he put out Bigger and Blacker. He put out like fucking
I know which one you're talking about.
Never Scared. He put out like fucking. He's put out so many classic
comedy albums.
1 hour stand-ups.
Where does he fall for you? Like, if you're doing a tier ranking, like, is he?
He's still tier one. To
is
me.
He definitively a step below Chappelle though? Like, where there's like a difference, or would you group them together?
I group them together.
Chappelle and Chris Rock are still tier one to me. I just thought this was mid.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought, I'm not gonna.
His whole thing is not mid. Like, his whole existence and his being is not mid. It's not like boxing,
where it's like, oh, he got knocked out. So, like, we got to put him down to pound for pound. Yeah.
This was just a bad game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you compare it to the Chappelle one, like, he did a couple this past, like, 2 years, right? Like, I feel like.
Chappelle hasn't missed in the last
year. He hasn't missed. And he'll do something where it's like, it's not jokes, but you're still captivated.
You're just like,
by
the
story.
What?
You know,
I think Chappelle, what separates Chappelle from so many other stand-up comics is outside of being a funny dude, he's just an amazing speaker.
Yeah.
Like, when he's just talking, you're just like, you're just locked into what he's going to say because the way he talks like a jazz musician and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, anything he says, you're going to pay attention to.
Same thing
with Chris Rock in a sense where it's like, you know, he's got a very distinct animated voice that we've all kind of grown up with, whether it's Pookie or fucking an animated film or like whatever the fuck. We just have things that we say in regular everyday life that we don't even know that we attribute.
I think if he did that bit, if he just did that last 20 minute bit at the Comedy Cellar,
right?
I think it'd hit a little bit different.
Here's the thing,
because this was such a big production. It was such a massive thing that happened in pop culture. I think, you know, I can't tell someone how to react and when to react.
Right.
And I think that's what we're trying to do with Chris in regards to him and Will. We're trying to police how he handles it and what he says about it. Right.
I think.
And I don't think it was a funny situation.
Yeah.
I think it was a fucked up situation. I think it was a really, really disrespectful situation. And I don't know how you can turn the tide and really make it funny, because we know deep down inside he feels a really big, like, that is rage. Still
so yeah. here's the thing.
Poking at him.
Here's the other side of that coin, right? As I was watching the Oscars as it happened, the first time I saw that smack, the first thing that went through my mind is like, oh my God, that's going to be a phenomenal bit when Chris Rock finally does
it.
Right? I'm like, if he's really mad at him, like, he shouldn't be, because you just gave him like the greatest bit in the history. You gave him the greatest gift a stand-up comic could ever have. You gave him material for the rest of his life. You know what I mean? But.
Well, this is my takeaway from it was like, when you become like, he's had this storied, amazing career.
Right.
But now, if you're playing word association game and someone goes Chris Rock, and the first thing you say is Will the slap. Yeah. Like, yo, no slap. One wants to be defined by getting slapped. Like, it's a little emasculating, right?
That's very true.
And like, I can understand the rage that comes from like taking that away from him, taking away his
like how do you turn that? How do you turn such a polarizing incident that happened in front of the world? And then still have the gall to go out and try to be funny or make fun. Because comedians always make fun of themselves all the time.
In Chris Rock's case, I'm pretty sure what happened was, as soon as that slap happened, HBO called, Amazon called, Netflix called, everybody called. They're like,
price went up.
They're like, name your price. Right. Whenever you're ready to talk about this, price name your fucking price. Right. You know what I mean? The fact that it was a live special, Netflix knew. I can't even imagine, Jake, if you can find, I can't even imagine the number Netflix played.
Tons.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm Chris Rock, at the very least, I could say, I got enough hits in the stash. If this is what y'all want, if this is what y'all want for me to have fucking, I already have generational wealth. If I want generational wealth times 10, sure, fuck it. Yeah, I'll tell the story.
Well,
and
if it's my best what day in was the office, a special, I forgot, big comedian, he had the red shirt on, and he did a Netflix special and revealed.
Gerard Carmichael.
If Chris did it like that,
what, just said he was gay?
He actually like, would have been gay.
Kaz would go there.
Yeah, he should have revealed that for sure.
Kaz, yes. That slap made me gay.
That's the way to win America
that
back, people.
Slap the gay in me. No, I'm saying like if shut up. If it was like an intimate convo therapy like,
America, session. Let me tell you something.
Like, bro, like, I didn't need that yelling at me the entire, like, because I know you want to talk about this. I know you want to really get this off your chest. I know you want to really tell people, like, this is how this shit made me feel. This is what I went through. This is who called me. Like, I know he really wanted to have a different kind of conversation around this event. Okay. I think there was something that,
because he didn't do the podcast. He didn't do the interview with XYZ. No, you know what I mean? That's why. So this was the moment,
it
right?
It was, but I think the moment, I think he wanted to have a convo.
Right.
It wasn't.
It wasn't a convo. It was a show. And it's just like, how do you handle that? And it's still going to be talked about. And like he said, when you play a word association game, as soon as someone says Will Smith or someone says Chris Rock, that's it.
But that's the thing. Okay, so that's another thing that kind of frustrates me a little bit, because now that moment, like, we all love mess, right? Like, it's entertaining, it's funny, but now it's like, these are two of our greatest, Will Smith, like, July 4th, one of the greatest movie stars of all time.
Literally one of the only people who could be counted as a movie star,
bankable,
right?
Fucking movie star.
Tom Cruise, Will Smith, name someone else who's like, that's just like, oh yeah, they have a movie out.
I don't know the movie, but Will Smith, we're all gonna watch it, right? Exactly. Like, it's those two, like, maybe Denzel, right?
Yeah.
Like, but
box
office, he's the guy.
Right.
Chris Rock, one of the funniest dudes, redefined an entire genre of comedy, all this shit. Now these two people are linked or known for this.
And now they're going to be entangled for life.
You know who I blame? That fucking...
I'm just saying, like, they're entangled for life. Like,
entanglements.
There's a lot of double entendres going on today.
Don't even ask me how.
There's a lot of double entendres going on today. I like that.
So what was your thoughts on the reaction to the special? Like,
I mean, like, it is what it is. Like,
okay,
it is what it is. Like, some people think.
Some people think it was funny. Shouldn't have called her a bitch.
When does the internet love anything unanimously, though? Either way.
No, I've never seen the internet say together.
That was good.
Right. Yeah. So I'm watching it. Like, I was at Sahara, and, you know, the shit was on. So I asked, like, I think like, I asked like 45 minutes into the special. I was like, how's Chris doing?
Okay.
The overwhelming response was what you said when we first started this discussion.
Mid. It was mid.
Then when it came to the end, somebody tweeted me and was like, yo, you've been waiting for the last 10 minutes.
I'll be honest, the last 10 minutes.
That's what everybody said.
The last 10 minutes had me captivated. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't gonna lie. Like, that part, like, he said a lot of things that a lot of people were kind of afraid to say and were kind of hoping he would say. You know what I'm saying?
But that's been him his whole career, too.
We all know that slap wasn't just towards Chris, right? Like, we all know, like, it was from so much that Will.
But he said that. Will said that. And Will admitted to that.
Exactly, exactly. But the reaction was what was funny to me, you know what I'm saying? It was, now it's like, we got this, what's the word? When you make up a past that isn't real. What's the word I'm looking for?
Delusional?
Not delusional, but we got this
fabricated
erasure. Like, we're doing erasure.
Gotcha.
What's erasure?
Of, like, we're erasing Chris Rock's
what his legacy
revisionist
was.
Revisionist history.
Did you make that word up? Erasure?
Now we're doing a lot of revisionist history.
Yes, no, you're right.
On Chris Rock, right? Like, there's a lot of, oh, I never thought it was funny.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. I saw that a lot.
Token black guy.
I'm like, we're not doing that.
The fucking, the Vanity Fair cover that's coming out. I'm like, bro, that's the 90s.
And the context behind that, like, come on.
Like, he's dressed up as a million different clowns for that shoot. Like, he's a comedian. It's a story about comedy. Like, all right, whatever. I get it. If that photo of a black man in that sort of painting, like, makes you uncomfortable, because they were saying that.
I think he was trying to depict at that time, like, that's what was being shown on TV with black actors, like Mitchell Show shit.
Do we want to run through, like, all of the hella controversial magazine covers that came out during the 90s to the mid 2000s? Like, before Instagram, like, that's how you got attention. You would do a fucking magazine cover, right? Like, that's what you did, you know? But it's I understand both sides. Right?
It's okay to say this shit was ass.
It's okay to say this shit was not your cup of tea, right?
Right. It's okay to say
it wasn't ass. It was just the expectations were so high.
No, it was ass.
Really?
There were points where it was ass. To me, I'm sorry. If you want me to keep it a buck,
the last 10 minutes? Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to pander. It was ass.
The last 10 minutes were still ass?
10 minutes, like I said, he could have did that Jared Carmichael route. He could have had that conversation in front of a very small, intimate crowd and said what he really wanted to say instead of saying it like that. Now, cool. Some people might have enjoyed that. That might have been, it would have been funny to them. It's like, yeah, that's how you get it back. That's how you take your control back. Cool, I get that too. But to me,
it shouldn't be about taking control back. It should be just, yo, was this shit funny?
And was I'm saying it, funny? It was not funny.
Wasn't funny enough.
Not enough. It wasn't funny.
That's the lens I looked at it through. I wasn't like, oh man, he's gonna get her back, or oh, they're gonna show. Yeah. Will show. I'm not like Team Will or Team Chris.
Yeah,
I just want to laugh.
Again, this is all subjective, right? This I'm allowed to say, yo, that shit wasn't funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it does not, like you said, selective revisionist history. I'm not gonna sit here and say, like, this nigga is not one of the most smartest comedians that's ever touched a microphone.
The first time I ever learned about taxes was a Chris Rock stand-up.
Like, so let's not.
When they said you don't pay tax, they take tax. I'm like, they take tax. What does that mean?
I didn't know George Bush was a C student.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, he's taught me so much and about how.
And
you
maybe
know,
it's a little sad that I learned some stuff like that from stand-up comedians.
It's part of culture.
If you learned it, you learned it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they don't teach about taxes in school. So
I know there's going to be somebody you learned about taxes through Chris Rock and sure dumb nigga. I'm just like, yo.
No, all right.
All right, like.
So, yeah, like I said.
That was aggressive.
You always go that route. Yeah. It was your third comment today that was a little aggressive. No, but like I always say,
I get flashbacks, guys. I'm just like
I always
like
say,
those Vietnam. I see bombs exploding.
Another aggressive. Anyway, like I always say,
dogs
things,
barking. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
My bad. Yeah, like now you went too far, bro. That was good.
I went too far. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, I always say two things can be true, right? Mm. Chris Rock can still be one of the funniest comedians to ever grace this planet, but that special was ass.
It was mid. I'll go mid. Mid's not ass.
I'm gonna call it ass.
What I want to know is where you go from here, right? Okay, because no one wants to hear the conversation anymore, right? So where
after you have explained it, and after you've really detailed how you really felt,
Yo, so sidebar, I don't know if anybody watched it, but Marlon Wayans also dropped a special.
I heard that shit was
on
funny.
HBO.
I heard it was had and it addressed it better.
And it addressed it way better than Chris Rock did, right?
So we need to watch this special of Marlon Wayans.
Well, see, it's going to be easier flowers. Because it's going to be easier because one, he didn't have to deal with the
here's the thing. So it's called God Loves Me, right?
No, yeah, I know about it. Yeah. So I didn't watch it yet.
So the whole running theme is that like he's always like he starts off with, "Yo, when Chris Rock Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, this was proof that God loved me," right? Because he had a unique relationship with Chris Rock, Will Smith, and Jada Pinkett. From being young Black Hollywood from the 90s, right? Wow. So like he's not only just telling stories of like, you know, how Chris Rock heckled him as a young stand-up comedian and which made him quit stand-up to go into like, fuck, I'm fucking terrible. I'm just gonna go write TV shows and movies and do all this type of shit to like prove myself to like get my confidence back or whatever, to fall in love with Jada Pinkett Smith on the set of a movie, you know what I'm saying? And like thinking he's in there with her and then like going into the trailer and like meeting like the Fresh Prince for the first time. Right.
I need to watch
and
this.
And then like it's just so well done. Mm. And then like it tells like, you know, and it's basically a story about like, yo, like I've always looked up to like Will Smith as like he was the A-lister bankable movie star. Like at one point,
Mr. July 4th.
It sounded crazy, but like in the early 90s, there was like a handful of young Black famous dudes. And like Marlon Wayans was like, he wanted to be in that mix and people didn't take him seriously for the longest time because Will Smith was, you know, the guy. And he was saying like every time he would audition for shit, like Will Smith would be the fucking dude who would.
He's probably the more polished version of that.
Right. But it's funny. It talks insightful. About like, it's insightful. It's really good on like enjoying your own journey and then like appreciating like, well, damn, like, yeah, like he was aiming to be these guys, but like, well, he's written, produced 12, 13 movies, classic TV shows, one of the funniest dudes ever to live, famous family, like put his whole family, like incredible fucking lineage in his own right. Mm-hmm. But he also addressed that incident in a way that humanizes all of them. And being like, man, this is just an ugly situation. I wish we could all just fucking move on from it. Because it's like, Will Smith, one of the fucking goats.
Yeah.
He held up Black excellence for the longest time. Yeah. The Will and Jada relationship was the fucking real life fucking, Huxtable. I was going to say Huxtable. But, you know, Will and Jada was, you know, that was a bar for people. Like, that's the relationship you had. Chris Rock. Famous, greatest stand-ups ever. Jada Pinkett, one of the greatest actresses, most famous Black woman, powerful Black woman there is. So check that out. If you thought the Chris Rock shit was ass, the Marlon Wayans shit
I'll definitely do that before the week is out. I'll definitely, you know, try to check that out. But, you know, this situation has, you know, let us know that, you know, what's for us is for us. Like, what's for Chris is for Chris. How Will has handled this, and I don't know if he saw the special or cares to see it.
Yeah.
It's for him. And how we interpret it is how we interpret it. You know, just comedic level, you know, standards. Mm-hmm. Not just fuck what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery, flow, him, you know, fumbling over his jokes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It just didn't look like the Chris that I know to be true. And it's fine. Like, he's getting older. You lose a step or two. Like, that's what happens.
And it was live.
So, yeah, the expectations. So that's why I keep going back to this Jared Carmichael thing. Like, if he sat there on a stool and looked people in their face.
But Jared Carmichael really, isn't as funny.
I know. Well, no. I'm just saying. Well, we don't have to do that.
He's a great writer. I don't think he's like,
I'm not saying in the standard of him making people laugh.
He's more intimate.
You know what Gerard Carmichael is?
I'm saying in the standard of the environment.
Gerard Carmichael is hold your chin funny. Like he makes you go,
ponder. You ponder a thought.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. But I think Chris is that and slap me funny. And I think this situation called for that kind of conversation, that kind of environment. I think if he did it there, I think we would all look at it a little bit differently. Like, damn, okay, I get it now.
I would see.
I'm sure
Netflix was glad regardless. The after show was fucking hilarious, though. You saw the after show with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Hilarious.
That's good. Anyway, Hildy, who's playing quarterback for us this year?
Oh, for the New York Jets?
Aaron Rodgers?
I'm pretty convinced we're the worst at attracting good energy I just don't see it happen. I guess Ryan Tannehill, Baker Mayfield.
Don't do don't do it, yo.
Chris Trevler, the GOAT.
I like Trevler. I thought Trevler should have got more burn.
Why didn't y'all snatch Derek Carr before the Saints did?
You know what?
I'm not mad about that.
I'm not mad at letting Derek Carr.
You can't throw in the cold.
Gotcha.
The whole throw in the cold thing, I think that might be a little overblown.
So is Aaron Rodgers out of y'all reach?
No, I think as of right now, Aaron Rodgers is very much in play.
If Aaron Rodgers, y'all pass or it doesn't work out, do y'all pursue Lamar?
I've wanted Lamar since day one. Okay. Like, I'm like, what? But now we kind of see like the whole collusion shit going on. I'm like,
they don't want to give him up.
The Deshaun Watson shit kind of fucked everybody up. So all the owners are probably
There's some weird, like, let's not break that ceiling again.
Yeah, they're like, we only did this because this guy was kind of, let's just do this. You know, a lot of when it came to that situation. So everybody immediately coming out and being like, oh, we're not in on Deshaun, Lamar Jackson. We don't want him.
Because I see like seven teams pass up on him. Yeah, like the Dolphins, the Falcons.
Doesn't make sense.
All your quarterbacks are terrible.
Y'all literally gonna pass on him.
Yeah, that's so crazy. It made you really ponder. So I mean, the Aaron Rodgers thing is gonna be funny though, because Aaron Rodgers is such a character, and like him being in New York,
he's a solid quarterback.
Do you ever watch him on Pat McAfee?
It's phenomenal.
All the time.
People act like he's elusive, but he really just tells you everything he's thinking if you just listen to him.
He is so forthcoming.
He's very straightforward.
He's very direct.
Just no one asks him, like, hey, are you going to play for the Jets? They're just like, oh, let's.
It's like, oh, well, you know.
I can hear him say, fuck no.
And then I'd be like, we respect it.
That'd be dope to see him on New York.
I think it'd be dope, but like, I just think he's going to be. You talked about it, right? Him being on the Pat McAfee show and like just the way he talks. Like, I hope he does more New York media when he's here.
You know,
if he's here,
we did this with Brett Favre. I don't remember the year.
See, okay, and it worked out well.
People forget. We were like 8-3 or 7-3
before Bounty Gate,
and then he got hurt
before the Saints like put a bounty on his fucking head.
Yeah, so it could. If that would have worked out, we probably like I'm here for it. I think I've learned sports wise. This is even with like I haven't been watching the Knicks during their streak because I feel like when I pay too much attention to the things that I love, they fail. So like I watch the like.
Wait, do you have a girlfriend? I just like the analogy. He was like, when I pay attention to things that I love, they fail. So
yeah,
I'm like,
we're working on that. Okay. For sure. That balance.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
Introspective real quick. Like, damn, am I?
No, I did see a tweet a while ago though that says like if your like significant other, if your man is like a fan of like a terrible sports team, like you want him. That's a loyal ass dude.
Nah,
if he's sticking around for 40 seasons of being a Jets fan,
not bad.
Like, then he can help put it up with whatever shit you're giving him.
Not bad.
Like,
if he's waited 40 years and still hasn't got a ring, he'll wait for you.
He'll wait for you.
He'll
give you that ring. You know, it's got to go somewhere. There's something to be said for it, for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, listen. That's why us Knicks Jets fans are very unique people, man. We're very loyal.
Yeah.
We're loyal to the soil. And we'll even take a wild ass Aaron Rodgers 1 or 2 years in New York, man. Like
you gotta shake something up.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
I stopped caring.
What's up?
Like I've stopped caring to the point where I see people online get so upset about everything.
Yes,
and this is like politics or your favorite sports team or whatever. And like I don't know when people ever stop and think. You have no control over any of this.
Yeah.
Hold on. Because this is I don't like how you're trying to mirror this. Between you guys,
okay.
Especially because I know you like one of my best friends, so I know how you are. I know how you're wired, and I'm starting to understand how you are. You guys have done a very magnificent job at masking. Your disappointment, your frustrations.
Yes.
Cheers.
You have masked that. So
it's a gift.
So when you say you see people online getting upset about things they can't control, you guys just have figured it out how to get mad at things you can't control.
I think forgive me if I speak for you.
No, please speak for me.
I think the beauty,
wild.
The beauty of rooting for a terrible team is that when you've been hurt before.
You can't hurt me again.
You can't hurt me again.
Yeah. You understand how toxic that feels? That's very nasty.
I built up such a callus for Jets and Knicks disappointment.
Yeah.
That if Ryan Tannehill is my quarterback, I'm still going to be like...
Your emotional armor in regards to these two organizations is very bulletproof.
We got the offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
We got Breece Hall coming back.
Yeah.
If we got somebody who has a pulse that can throw a football, I'll root for that team.
Well, I would go as far to say that... You know, the calluses that come from the disappointment of rooting for an underperforming sports team and knowing it doesn't matter how angry I get online, they're still going to do what they do, has set me up for like understanding and accepting like global warming. I don't tweet at people saying you got to stop throwing shit. I'm just like, I accept.
Sorry, listen,
this is going the wrong way. And I'm here for it.
It's snowing in August.
I'm just here for whatever happens.
You guys have such a unique view of life. Listen, I love every.
What can I really do about global warming?
Ukraine. Yeah, nothing.
I mean, what can I?
What can I do today to stop the
emissions? Right.
I can't stop emissions.
There's nothing you can do about the front office for the Jets and Knicks.
I could have paper mache sneakers and jeans for the rest of my life.
And it's still going to happen.
And then like a plant could blow up and put like a zillion.
That's what happens.
Like trucks spilling all. Another train derailment with toxic waste.
That's a little weird.
Our bad. Use a paper straw. We're going to save the environment. Oh, don't mind this train derailment with a million tons of
they were like waste. 6 in 3 days.
Yeah, like nah, yeah, bro.
There's something going on that we don't know about.
I mean, listen.
Glad I don't live in Ohio.
The aliens kind of came and went. You know what I mean? They were doing
double dutch. They were dipping their toe in the water. Like,
I avoid all alien news. I just if I see anything about alien, I just avoid it.
Why do you avoid it?
That's just funny as hell.
I'm not trying to read these declassified reports that just like tell you like, oh,
they're like, bro, they're here.
There's ignorance is bliss that I only extend to aliens.
No, it's always a scouting report. Like every year we get a scouting. That's what they're doing. Like it's like Duke and Alabama. Looking like, all right, who's the next one?
Like, listen,
what are we doing? Like, that's what they're doing.
Offensive line, you know what I'm saying? They're going to come hard.
They've seen nothing of value on our planet, and that's
you always see they're always in the Midwest. They never come to the East Coast. They always right in the Midwest. So they always in Nebraska, and North Dakota. They never come to New York.
Here's my theory. On the subway, though.
Okay.
Here's my theory, right?
So like, back in our pocket.
There was a whole lot of like balloons and like weird activity and stuff being shot down the first month of the year, right? I think they came here, like they looked around, like there's like probably some cool aliens that have been here for a while, and they're like, oh, you know, it's not that bad once you get around to it. You know?
And they heard the Chris Rock special, and they were like, oh. That was more mid than my universe. I'm back.
Like, wrap this shit up, B.
You don't respect the black woman here. We leave.
Wait, aliens talk like that? That's how aliens talk? Aliens are like aliens from Pakistan. Like, that's how they talk.
I tried to do a robot voice and it sounded more.
Yeah, that was very racist.
It sounded more like Apu.
Yeah, like, bro, like.
I was not going for Apu at all. That was my robot.
To be honest, we don't know. It could be accurate. It could be accurate.
Like, yeah. He's talking like the aliens can make a fire bacon, egg, and cheese. Like, bro, that's. It's not how they.
I'm sure they would. I would try. Like, if an alien came down and offered you something to eat, would you eat it?
No.
What if they were like, listen, we've been here for like the beginning of time. What we're about to hand you is we've studied your taste buds and what you guys.
If they hand me a steak from Hillstone, I'm eating it.
No, listen. Listen to the scenario.
Okay.
Aliens just pulled up.
Where, like, in what car?
They just pulled up.
Okay, just pulled up. All
right. Just pulled up.
Okay.
They're like, yo.
No car?
No car? That's what I'm saying.
They're like, listen.
What are they listening to?
Y'all know you. You'll know me. They talk very regular. They're like, I'm from outer space.
Okay.
I'm an actual alien. I've been here. I've been alive for 5,000 years, and I've been monitoring everything you guys do on this planet.
So he's been stalking me.
All of y'all. I'm an alien, bro.
Okay.
Your little minds can't even comprehend this stuff I know out here.
That's how they talk. That's how they talk.
Yes, that's exactly how they talk.
Like they're from Highbridge, bro.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Like I said, I've already walked past them because I thought they were going to sell me like on some shit. So like in New York, like
they're on Canal Street.
1,000.
I was like, you're an alien. No, for sure. I'm on the phone though. I got to keep walking.
It's better than sounding like I poop.
Okay.
So like, yo, we know. Like, listen, yo.
We know everything about you.
We know everything about you.
Right.
What I got right here is the best tasting steak you've ever had in life. I know what you call Hillstone. I've been here. That Hillstone, we wipe our ass with Hillstones on my planet, son. That's how they talk.
Okay. Is it like on a plate or is it like in a bag?
He just pulls it out of his pocket. His alien pocket.
He pulls it out. Oh, the pocket steak.
He just goes, Listen,
he pulls it out of his pocket.
I've been watching y'all. Like, y'all like steaks, right?
Okay, so he pulls it out of his pocket.
Is it seasoned?
But here's the thing. He pulls it out of his alien pocket.
So like,
is
the pocket like a stove or a grill?
You just gotta trust his alien taste. That like I know what taste is. I'm not from this planet, but I've been studying.
Hoodie, I never thought I would be having a conversation like this on a sports music news podcast. You have to trust his alien taste. That's a statement I've never thought I heard. Trust
what I would taste. Say.
All right, Hoodie, you answer first.
If an alien is asking me to do something, it would be a mistake not to.
Shout out to Eden, yo. That was Eden.
That was an Eden classic right there.
There it is.
All right. Let's get off this alien shit and focus on before we get out of here. Focus on what we gotta focus on. Hoodie, talk to us about what you're about to present to the world.
Oh, I made an album, and usually my music is very pop rap, which is your favorite type of rap. I'm just kidding. Yeah, no.
Keep trying to tell you.
But I don't have a it's kind of like a sad boy album a little bit more in the alternative indie world.
Let me tell you something.
Mid feelings? Is it mid feelings?
I fucking love
it's,
sad boy
it's
music.
Feelings, but hopefully it's not mid. It's a little good than that. Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah, it's nice to do something different. Like I've been able to do music for 10 years now, and like it's cool to switch things up and do something that maybe people don't completely expect. Because if you do it for long enough, people kind of think they know what they're gonna get from you. So
what is it? What's the title?
It's called Bub.
Bub?
Yeah, B-U-B.
Bub as in like a salutation? Like, yeah, Bub. Like Wolverine?
But yeah, Bub is in like what you might call your...
like your buddy. Like
your significant other or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
So this is sad boy music. Yeah, I'm all for it.
So is this a story or is this a personal experience?
It's ripped from the real life of, you know, my last relationship sort of ending. Gotcha. And me being... thinking that was like the relationship. The one, yeah. And then it got a little too timey entanglement, some stuff happening, no Jada.
Oh God.
And
you got cheated on?
Just slap in the face.
Yeah, so there's a song on the record called Hey Ben, which is out, and like the chorus it is like, Hey Ben, I'm sorry, but I might have slept with your girlfriend. I was under the impression she was my girlfriend. Basically what happened in real life was I like went from being the boyfriend to being the side piece. In a weird sense without
so
even knowing.
Like, yeah. So your girl cheated on you with another girl. They got together.
No, a guy.
You
became a guy.
A guy.
Oh, damn.
Like in that in between.
I mean, either
you know
one
you're still talking
good.
To someone. You know you're still talking to someone. It's not fully deaded.
Yeah,
you're trying to figure
There's
it
no
out.
Closure.
Definitely no closure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I was like, why don't I write songs about this to create that closure?
What I'm always interested in when these kind of songs are created is the reaction from the person involved.
Oh, yeah.
Has she heard or have you even informed her that this was going to be public or put on display?
No.
And you seem pretty happy about that.
No, I wasn't happy about it. I was super nervous about it. But like, you know, that was actually my biggest anxiety going into it. Right. It's like we hadn't spoken. We did, I did the whole contact thing. Right. Okay. You know, I'm not going to talk. And then for a while I was like, do I give you a heads up about this music?
I think as a respect thing, I'm like, hey, this is coming out.
But is it respect or is it almost selfish to do that? Because what if you're in that position and you say, well, don't put it out.
Well, I mean, again, it depends how you phrase said situation. If the situation was that crazy, then I might pull back and not even acknowledge it. Some things are just like, okay, like we've all been through these things.
Yeah.
And you're speaking on a universal situation that has happened with, you know, people that you know.
For sure.
Family members, you know, people that you work with. Everyone has been through those kind of situations. So I think... And I'm not an artist, so, you know, I may not be speaking the same language as you speak, but I just believe that, hey, this is coming down the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I still respect you, because I want you to be aware that I'm talking about a situation I went through. And I have the 100%. Right. I have the 100%. Right to say, hey, this is what I went through with this person.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking from your perspective. I'm talking about what I observed, what I went through, and what I learned from it. but I'm just letting you know it's coming.
Oh, that's 100% what it is. I mean, you worded it really well. Like, it's like, hey, I'm not, there's no real part of it where I'm trying to trash someone. I'm not saying any names, you know, but like, it's like, okay, cool. I have,
this is an experience for me.
Yeah, this is something that like I went through. The last thing I'm trying to do is like have parasocial people on the internet going and attacking this person. Exactly. Like, I don't, that wasn't the point of it, right? No, it's just like, oh, this is something that like I needed to get off my chest. And you know, we make art for whatever reason. And part of that is to, you know, get over things and get through things in your own life. So I thought a lot about the, like, do you give a heads up? It was really, I probably had like 20 conversations with different people about it. And ultimately it felt like, hey, it was almost too self-serving as a reason to like reach out for the first time to kind of say it. So I said, I'm just going to let it do. Yes, this person probably might hear it. Mm. And I don't know if I'll hear from them. I don't. And I haven't. Mm. And I'll just let it be. And like, you know, it's ultimately not meant with any malice or any negative intent.
I mean, I think as long as it's that, then, and they're like, no names are mentioned.
For sure.
Then it is what it is.
No,
how did the process of making this album affect you mentally as far as like going through a breakup? And even though you haven't spoken, like, what did this do for you, like, creatively to just finally like, get this out of you?
Man, it was crazy because I think most of the time I'm only writing stuff that's, like traditionally I write stuff that's pretty, like, fun.
Yeah, very lighthearted, fun music.
Yeah, and this was very going down the, like, channel your emotions and feel things out. And I was doing it during quarantine for a large part.
Oh, wow.
I ended up being in L.A. with my buddy and, like, living at his house and writing a lot of this music together. So it was... You know, the world was weird and it was a bit of a different process. So, I think
it's probably even sounds sadder knowing that you made it in isolation. And
no, I made it in isolation knowing I was in the city that this person had just moved away from me. And there's so many like factors on top of it. But I think, you know, there's a bit of like relief I've been hoping for where like it's finally out and you can kind of like completely end that part of your, you know, your like whatever you're holding on to in that life. And yeah, so luckily I get to do that.
Well, it definitely sounds like, you know, you've went through a process, got through the process, you know, it's a life process that we were all going through. And I'm sure it was a little bit more taxing on you because you're creative and you're trying to get all these experiences out. So I hope, you know, when this album does come out, I hope people see that and I hope people can, you know, relate certain experiences in their life and you're brave to put that shit on online. So got to give a round of applause for my guy Hoodie right here.
Hey, Hoodie, thank you so much, bro. Man, I appreciate it.
Talking Nixon.
Let's not make it another 9 years before we kick it again, bro.
For sure.
There it is.
Thank you so much. When can we expect everything to drop, or what's the sort of time?
The album comes out March 17th. Feel free to check it out if you're feeling down and going through a breakup or otherwise.
Yeah, there's not gonna be a whole lot of air horns on that one.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's like sad bops. You know what I mean? It bops, but it's.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be looking forward to that. Hoodie, Kaz, you know how we do. What you got popping this weekend, man? Where you at? Where can we find you?
Man, just, you know, continue to find me on Points Bet Count at Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Catch me on MSG. Catch me on the Masked Man Show on The Ringer. And the Wale Mania tickets are still on sale. We are almost sold out. Los Angeles, can't wait to see y'all March 30th at the Novo, LA Live. So many incredible people will be rolling through for WrestleMania weekend. Can't wait for it. Can't wait to see y'all there. Get your tickets now. Hopefully it's not sold out by the time you hear this.
And Hoodie, podcast. Hoodie.
Do you know Wale is my like only rap, like legit rap feature that I have in my catalog, I feel like.
That's a good feature to have.
Yeah.
Are you going to be in LA on March 30th?
I might be, actually.
You might be?
He's a great dude, and I really appreciate him for doing that.
Man. Yeah,
he's
part two. Bro, let's make it happen. I'll see you there.
Socials, where can they find you? I know when the album's coming out, but
at Hoodie Island. Feel free. I'm very good at writing back to people. So if you watch this and you enjoyed our conversation about how mediocre Chris Rock is done recently, I'll love to hear from you.
You can find me on Rap Life Review. Find me on Twitter at LowKeyUHTN. Just a little quick announcement before we get out of here. Last week was my last show for Hip Hop R&B Throwback on Apple Music Hits.
Hell of a run.
You can check out the past episodes on demand. Hopefully, I'm still with the Apple Music family as I do Rap Life Review every Monday, so you can check those out.
Spicy takes on that Rap Life
Review. Spicy takes. So I gotta up my presence.
surprises. But yeah, so everyone that enjoyed the Hip Hop R&B Throwback Show for the last 2.5 years during the pandemic, I appreciate the support. I appreciate you guys letting me bring you back down memory lane for the 90s and the 2000s. It was a great show. Shout out to DJ Juanito. You know, shout out to Brittany. Those are my two producers. Shout out to Simone. Shout out to, you know, Reef, Michelle, Sarah. Shout out to the whole team. Thank you for that opportunity. But if you're looking for that show, it's still there. It's a playlist, but there's no host. So you can check out past shows on demand in Apple Music Hits. Just, you know, click on Apple Music and you can find it. But thank you for the support. Just want to make sure that y'all know that y'all keep looking. I keep getting questions of, well, aren't you? That's why show was done last Tuesday. Thank you for support. And this has been another episode of Say Less with Kaz Rosie, me, our guy Hoodie right here, Jake, Madison, Benson, my guy. Kaz, take us home, baby. You know how it goes.
We do every time. Stay free, stay safe, and always say less.
And shouts to Bumble, of course, as always. And Road, that's that. I said it right.
Oh, Road Mike. Shout out Road. I appreciate that. All right, y'all. See y'all next week. Peace out.